Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Well, hello and welcome everyone. My name is Dennis and I'm here with Rick Sterling in our studio with Dr. Don on the phone. And we are delighted that you have taken some time out of your busy schedule on this last Friday of 2022, December 30, 2022, for our program, The Bible on Trial. We will be getting to that in just a moment, but I want to remind you of our website. Our primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net. There you're going to find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church. Today is the 30th, December 30. I said that.
Yeah.
I'm just so, you know, never mind. I just didn't want to forget it like I've done in the past. Our primary website has our book, The Spirit of the Church. It's the primer for Spirit of Truth Ministry. It was written during the times 2004, 2005 to 2007 when we got it published. It truly is a writing that Satan did not want to have come out. And there is on our web page, our secondary web page at spiritoftruthministry.net /SST M, at the new book page, in the sidebar, there is a little history about how the book came to be and almost didn't come to be. So we encourage you to go to that website as well. Our Facebook page is located at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group, and you can either join or just show up every day or two, or on the weekends especially, we have Fridays and Sabbaths. We have episode info that I write, little blurbs about what we've been doing here on the program, and link each of those days to the actual program on Blog Talk Radio. So let's have prayer, and we will get started with the program today. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we are coming to the end of a new year, but the beginning of a new life. And I pray, Father, that your will be done in all of these things, that the kingdom, the righteous kingdom that you have on this earth will grow into that mountain that will fill the whole earth that Daniel spoke about to Nebuchadnezzar. I pray, Father, that as we go through today's study, that you will release our fear of the unknown and bring us to a place where we can know for sure that righteousness exists and that it is and can be in us. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Dr. Don. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning.
This is the last Friday you're going to be able to greet everybody, Don, till next week.
So good. Hello to the whole listening audience all over the world. These are incredible times, I'll tell you. So our job is to stay very alert and stay with Revelation 12:17. Do the commandments of God and follow the testimony of Jesus.
Yep, absolutely, Don.
Because lying seems to be the standard these days, and God does not lie. So if anybody wants to go where there's no lying, the only place I can think of is Jesus.
Yeah, you know, Don, lying has been the standard for a very long time.
Yeah, the operation is for the world.
But see, now it's so intense. That,
now it's being exposed.
Well, that's a great point. I'm sure that's true. So we have to be willing and ready for the exposure. A lot of people get very uncomfortable.
And why is it being exposed right now?
Well, because we're approaching the end. Judgment is about.
Why wasn't it exposed in 1844?
Well, because there was no kingdom.
That's right. Exactly, Don. And all of those people in 1844 that thought they were in the kingdom weren't.
That's right.
Anyway, nice to talk to you, Don. And I hope you do feel better. I hope that you're not going to be too beset by the weather changes and all that.
Yeah, unfortunately, the sun isn't going to be shining fully for about a week.
Right. And my left knee is getting fit too, so my right knee.
Through the clouds. The sun is always shining, but through the clouds.
Well, looking forward to a great day. Thank you.
Okay. You're on.
When I was going through subjects in my mind as to what would be a good subject to cover today as we close out a calendar year, I know that God started his solar year using the sun at the spring equinox in the northern hemisphere, which of course is where the people called to be his kingdom lived. And the calendar operated not with months dictating when the year started, but with the sun at the spring equinox. The month would start with a new moon, and the moon determined the time of the months. The first month of the year would be the first new moon on or after the spring equinox. Time. What time is it? And how would we be able to know, if we are able to know at all, the time in which we are living? And if we have an idea of the time, and I'm not talking specifically as what time is it, or the actual time, hours, minutes, seconds, days, weeks, but more like an age. And are we at the end of the age? How would we tell if we are at the end of the age? Well, from what I understand, an age typically has been determined by the sun and one of the 12 or 13 zodiac signs. Now, if you're wondering if I am off my rocker and say there's 13 zodiac signs, well, there are 13 zodiac signs, but typically 12 presently are being used. But there is a 13th, and it is called Ophiuchus, or the serpent holder. And you can look that up online, and you will find the 13th sign of the zodiac. The age that we have been living in during our lifetime is the age of Pisces. But I have heard from some sources that we have transitioned into or are transitioning into the sign of Aquarius. The ages go in retrograde or counterclockwise motion in regard to the rising sun and the zodiac sign in which it rises. God has given us a lot of information, but I have found that that information has been misunderstood or dismissed. And why is that, and how has that happened, and why would God allow it to happen? All of this dismissal, misunderstanding, and relegating to a philosophical viewpoint of scripture is the result of a coup, an insurrection that took place a very long time ago, at least 10,000 years ago.
Oh, you don't mean the January 6th insurrection?
No. That was a lie, which, of course, has been proven to be a lie just recently, the other day. But thinking about the cosmos, the universe, God who created everything, including every living being, spiritual and physical. And if you are unaware of what is going on in the world right now, you must be deaf, blind, and stupid. For it is clear to see there are two realities that have clashed. Two realities that are war. It is a spiritual war, but there are physical, there are physical conflicts that are a part of this spiritual war. And it's spiritual because it is a war to control or not control your mind. I'm sure you have heard of the WEF. If you haven't, look it up. it's online. If you're not online, ask your neighbor if your neighbor is online, or ask your neighbor if they've heard of the WEF. WEF stands for World Economic Forum. It is the beast of Revelation 13. It is the beast of Revelation 13. The main personage of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, has said, and he has made it absolutely clear, no doubt, that what the purpose for the World Economic Forum is to have a one world government. And they are actively in the process of making that happen. How do they do that? Well, they kill, reduce the population down to 500 million, much easier to control than 7 or 8 billion. Yes, Dennis?
I'm just going to say, they were planning on killing off the majority of the population of the world. And one form of that was supposed to be the plandemic that we have just been through, which they have just declared over, okay? Because they have this, well, I won't go into all that, but the fact is none of their plans are working out.
And well, they know what's going on in Ukraine right now. That's part of it. They're hoping that by poking the bear enough times, the bear will unleash nuclear hell, which is what they want. They have been confiscating farms from farmers, burning food processing plants to ensure a famine. They have released a war. We have the potential, and also at already seeing signs of a famine. We've been warned that there will be famine. And plague. The only other thing is wild beasts. Now, wild beasts can be hornets, locusts. Working on that. Now, I want you to know we are not going down that road. We are not going to live through that reality. And the reason I know that is because God has given us the information that we need so that we will know we are not going through that hell that is described in Revelation. The reason that I tell you about that, though, is because I want you to understand that if there were any doubt that God exists, and that if God exists, that he knows what is going to happen in the future, and that he makes that known long before it takes place. Now, he has said through the prophet Isaiah, turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, And I like to say this about the book of Isaiah every time, because the book of Isaiah was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, basically complete. And it does have this in it. Now, why do I say that? Well, because the Dead Sea Scrolls come from, around, it's like 200 years before the Common Age, and or 100, around 100 years after the Common Age, long time ago, and it is copied from other scrolls. We also have God's Word, that he will preserve the words that he has given us, that he requires us to know, to learn, and to put into practice. He will preserve those words until they have accomplished the purpose for which he sent them. Isaiah chapter 42 and verses 8 and 9. My name is Yahweh. I will not yield my glory to another, nor my honor, how former revelations have come true. Fresh things I now foretell, before they appear, I tell you of them. Beast of Revelation 13. Now let's turn there. Revelation 13, because there's some interesting points I want to make. Revelation chapter 13. Then I saw a beast emerge from the sea. It had seven heads and ten horns, with a coronet on each of its ten horns. And its heads were marked with blasphemous titles. I saw that the beast was like a leopard, paws like a bear, and a mouth like a lion. The dragon had handed over to it his own power, his throne, and his, get this, worldwide authority. We have been hearing a lot about pagan god Baal. But Baal was not a pagan god only. Baal was the god that the majority of the Israelites worshipped. The Israelites also worshipped the Egyptian gods, the Babylonian gods, Persian gods, and the Greek gods. The leopard, the bear, and the lion, from Daniel 7 prophecy. And we were told in Daniel 7 that the fourth beast, that great and terrible beast with the ten horns, it was destroyed. But the ten horns, which represented ten kingdoms, They were not destroyed along with the beast, just the body of the beast that was destroyed. And that's what it says in Daniel 7. You can read it. And his body was thrown into the lake of fire and completely destroyed forever. So Rome and the Roman Empire was destroyed, but the horns that had grown out of, or the kingdoms which had grown out of the Roman Empire, continue on to this day, except for the three horns that were uprooted by a horn that had eyes and a mouth, speaking and blasphemies, blaspheming God and his throne and his word. This beast of Revelation 13 is made up of the spiritual practices of those three empires: Babylonian, Persian, and Greek. And now we're told there in Revelation 13, as we read on, verse 3, I saw that one of its heads seemed to have had a fatal wound. Do you know what a fatal wound is?
Something that you don't recover from.
It's not just a scratch.
It's not a scratch, exactly.
It is a wound suffered in war that from it is death. So heads represent kings and kingdoms. A king cannot be separated from the kingdom, and a kingdom cannot be separated from a king. So these kingdoms go on. There are eight. They started out with 10. Three of them were uprooted by a horn that came up after the 10. So you had seven left, and then you have an eighth. Eighth was the one chosen by the devil, Baal, Beelzebub, Baphomet, whatever name you want to call him. And his sole purpose is not to defeat God and his angels, because they already fought that war and lost. His sole purpose is to deceive men and women, is to deceive them in such a effective manner that they think and believe that they have the truth, when in fact they are believing a lie.
Effective and insidious.
So how does he do that? Well, the most effective way is to keep the truth from getting out. And he did that very effectively for a long time, using that horn with eyes and a mouth that he established. That was his. Completely and totally, that horn was operating in complete, as an extension of spiritual kingdom of Baal, Baphomet, the devil.
and anything that went against the words of that horn was censored.
By burning the stake, by lopping off of the head, whatever manner, you know, stretching out on the rack.
By torture and all of that stuff.
That's right. Through it all, though, the truth survived. How is that? How is it that the truth could survive under that type of assault? Because God has told us. Nothing can destroy, remove, hide his word until his word has accomplished the purpose for which he sent it. God does not lie. In the parable of the wheat and the darnel, we are shown through description that there are two types of seed planted. One by the Son of Man, who is the Son of God, who we call the Messiah. There's another who is the devil. He's called the enemy. Do you know why the devil is called the enemy? Is he the enemy of God? Yes. And all those who hold to the word of God. He is the enemy. So how does he conduct his war? Well, the same way God conducts the war against the devil. Words. Plain and simple. Bottom line, words. Flesh and blood have nothing to offer in the war against evil. So two types of seed. What are those seed? The seed are the words. Now, the seed, the good seed, we are told are the sons of the kingdom. The sons of the kingdom.
Or in today's verbiage, the children of the kingdom.
So when you take the flesh and blood out of this equation, what are you left with? The soul.
The intellect.
The spirit. The intellect. The intellect of the soul. Words. Think about it. When you're thinking about it, what are you thinking in? Words. Well, you might see a picture, but what is a picture in your mind? If you were blind to pictures in your mind, how would you know what you were looking at? You need words to describe it on a sea. How do you describe a sea if you didn't know what a sea was? You go, yeah, well, I see something and I see two things, but, you know, that's it.
And so how does a person blind and deaf from birth acquire words? Well, there are other means.
But if they're going to know anything and be able to communicate anything, they have to learn words and what the words describe, exactly. What the words mean.
And Helen Keller did that.
Now, there are two types of words. There are words that are true, or at least the words are put together to convey truth. There are words put together that convey lies. What are lies? I think a good way to describe it is another way the devil has concocted to make his true worshipers wealthy at the expense of the serfs. And that is to create wealth out of nothing. Nothing. And control that wealth.
And make people believe that that nothing is something.
And then take something of value from the peons and give them worthless numbers in exchange. And then charge them interest on the numbers they just put into the computer. Called hypothecation. It goes on all the time. The wealthy have been using it to increase their wealth at the expense of the people, the sheep. But what can you do? They're so powerful. If you raise your voice, they shut you up. Temporarily or permanently.
If you raise your voice, they throw you in prison.
But take heart. When you are on God's side, ultimately, you're the one who turns out victorious.
In modern parlance, when you have been banned on a social media platform, you have been thrown in virtual prison because you said something that they didn't like.
But all it is censorship.
Well, it is.
That's what it comes down to.
Well, what I'm saying is censorship, but it is like a prison.
But why is to shut you up being done?
Because they are terrified that if what you are saying, that is the truth, comes out, they will be exposed. And that is happening right now today.
But you know, there are people out there that go, oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist. What's happening on Twitter right now, I think, is quite, quote unquote, revealing. Because all the conspiracy theorists, quote unquote, are being shown to have actually been telling the truth about what was going on. And the others were. And that translates down to the Bible also. And the parable of the wheat and the darnel. If you want to be a son or daughter of the kingdom of God, the true God, the one only God, the creator God, you must eat the words, which are the seed that he planted. They must be planted in your intellect, sprout and grow. And then you are a child of the king once you have completed that process.
I posted a meme that I actually wrote 3 days ago on Facebook, on my Facebook page. And it says, since when did cold hard facts become conspiracy? And oh my, did, and I Rick read it the other day, was it roundly criticized by a classmate of mine in high school who is a far leftist and has taken complete umbrage to the fact that conspiracy can be even used anywhere near the word fact.
A mind that has been captured by the devil through the unquestioned beliefs in his lies is what is talked about in the Bible as a hardened heart, a intellect that has been so sealed by lies that the intellect of that individual sees the truth as very dangerous lies. So I hope you can see that the information given to John on the Isle of Patmos almost 2,000 years ago is coming to pass today in our time. We can see it happening. I remember when the idea of a one world government was presented to a lot of the people, and they said it'll never happen. You can get communist Russia in the same government with capitalist United States and the West and the Muslim world with the Christian world. Ah, it'll never happen. Well, let me tell you, it looks a lot more likely that it could easily happen, but it won't today. And that head with the fatal wound, and the fatal wound was healed. I grew up being told that that fatally wounded head was the papacy, which, of course, goes along with the Catholic Church. And that's what I believed. Until I took a closer look at things, and when things became much clearer than they had ever been, I had ever seen them. A head, as I've told you, is a kingdom or a nation. King is associated with that kingdom. So what nation went out of existence? I mean, it was no longer a nation through an act of war.
That would be...
But then, is now a nation again in the place where it existed as a nation, Israel.
Current nation of Israel, exactly. And past.
Now, the Christian world, which has been totally captured by the devil, believes that this is the promise of God, that God was going to restore Israel. And he has restored Israel, and Israel is going to be the centerpiece of the new paradise that God is about to bring. After, of course, the Great Tribulation, where you talk about Gog and Magog and the King of the North and the King of the South and blah, 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 blah.
Except, Rick, for one minor little problem, because Jesus spoke some words when he was here on earth that took Israel right out.
Well, I,
of
you know, if you who have been listening faithfully every week, you know the verse, I'm sure.
Matthew 21:43.
The kingdom, of God is taken away from you and will be given to a people who will produce the fruit of it. So all those Christians who say God restored Israel to the Holy Land would have to explain why the king of the kingdom of God took the kingdom away from them. He restored them in the end. And who actually did restore the Jews to Israel?
The Balfour Agreement.
Well, it comes right down to the devil, Baphomet. And he is brilliant. You must understand that the devil is not foolish. He is not stupid. He is, as God said, the wisest of all creatures, cunning. He was able to convince the man and the woman in the garden to go directly against a direct order from their creator. Why? How was he able to do this? Bring them something he couldn't give. Think about it. What we know is what happened after the man and the woman disobeyed God. But what if they had told the serpent, we will not disobey our creator and you get out and never come back?
What if they told him to pound sand?
It could have happened. What would the world be like now if they had not eaten the fruit?
An absolute paradise.
Why was the devil so intent on getting them to disobey God? You know, God had them in a garden. It was a walled garden. It was a well-defined, protected place. They, at the time, were no threat to the nations living in the world at that time. They were no threat. Why did the serpent go into the garden for the sole purpose of getting the man and the woman to disobey the command that their creator had given them?
Because they were the only ones on earth who could change things away from him and give the world back to God if they had obeyed God.
They were the only ones on earth who knew who created them. See, the others had been told by Lucifer and his fellow insurrectionists, they had created them. They were the creators. They were the gods. They were to be worshipped as gods. Why do you think the serpent said to the woman, if you eat from that tree, you will become wise, knowing like the gods, good and evil? Gods? How are they gods? Who are they the gods of?
The world.
The people of the world.
Right.
Yeah. The problem that the man and the woman had is that they knew their creator, but they didn't know their God. And what I mean by that is, if they thought that their God did not mean what he said and would not do what he said, then they didn't know him. They didn't know God the way we need to know God too. Because if we don't know God the way we need to know God, we'll fall into the same trap that the man and the woman did. Believing a lie. Although he's been very clever. He always has been very clever, the devil. In using words in such a way to make you want what he is offering. But what is he offering? He's offering nothing he can deliver. Just like the man and the woman in the garden. What was he offering? Wisdom, secret wisdom. Hidden wisdom, knowing good and evil. Tell me this. If the man and the woman had resisted the devil, had rejected what the devil was suggesting that they could do, and had told him to depart from the garden, would they have learned good and evil?
They would have learned good and evil without participating in evil.
Right. And what is...
And that's the same as God.
God knows evil.
Right.
In fact, what the serpent said is you'll be like the gods, knowing good and evil. But what do we need to know? The truth. And if we know the truth, then we know the God of truth. And we can live in perfect harmony with his will if we know the truth and have not been subdued by the lies of the evil one. What God needs from each and every one of us is to learn the truth, to not be subdued by lies, to be honest with ourselves and take a look. Okay, so God has always said this. Why would he say that?
Right.
Why would he change? Why would he go from meet all the demands of righteousness to don't worry about the demands of righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. If you just believe the lie, that's all you need. God won't put you to death if you disobey him. Ah, you can't help it. That's what your flesh is all about. It's sinful. You can't escape it until you die. And then when you die, your righteous spirit will leave your corrupt, sinful flesh. That's a lie. That is a bold-faced lie. Yet that is what close to, if not 100% of Christians believe, that the Son of God came to save us sinners. Save us in sin. That's not what he said. He came to save us from sin by showing us the way to meet all that righteousness demands. And meeting the demands of righteousness is not a difficult thing to do. Certainly isn't impossible. It is as possible as in the garden, the man and the woman could have said, no, we will never disobey a command from our Creator. You, Satan, get out of here and never come back.
Why would God say, and see, a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, why would he change his mind virtually at the last minute?
Why would he try and save people no matter what? In other words, well, I guess I can't save the righteous because righteousness is an impossibility, so I'll change things up so that I won't lose this spiritual war with the devil, because I can't lose. So I've got to change the rules here in the middle of everything. And now I can win. Now I can win. And look, people look at me and say, oh, you're a righteous God because you didn't kill those poor sinner people that had no hope. I mean, they had no hope of becoming righteous. And you knew it in the beginning, but then you got to change it around. Please. Does that sound like God?
It sounds complex when, in fact, salvation is simple.
I have challenged many, many, many people to look at what is recorded in Matthew and John that the Son of God taught and compare it to everything else in the New Testament. And you will see a difference. We are in the days, the last days, the days of Elijah.
That was good, Rick. Thank you. And we encourage our listeners to join us tomorrow on the very last day of the year for our last program of the year at this very same spot at Blog Talk Radio. We will be here at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And please tell your friends, because tomorrow is going to be kind of a recap about what we went through the last few months, sort of like today, but we'll get a little bit more in-depth than that. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a great day, and we'll see you all tomorrow.